every little step, every little bit of progress, every time you do something that scares you, every little thing is really worth celebrating. And the celebration of that and the appreciation of all the little progresses is what's going to get you over whatever finish line you're looking for.
The Life in Motion podcast is brought to you by Actual Outdoors. They help build beautiful brands that highlight the approachable and authentic parts of outdoor recreation. Said simply, they keep it real. Learn more at actualoutdoors.com.
This is a Life in Motion audio experience, a podcast about travel, action sports, culture, and more.
What's up, and welcome to episode 196 of Life in Motion. I've got Juliana with me, who created the ski film The Nardashians, which takes a look at what the word gnarly means from a female perspective. I'm excited to hear her story and how she's shedding light on female athletes. Juliana, thanks for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely, absolutely. After, you know, stumbling upon what you're up to, it's definitely awesome. And something that everybody should check out, but we'll get to that part later. But before we do that, let's kind of kick it off with, you know, sort of your background story, you know, where you're from, where you grew up, kind of what got you into the outdoors and obviously skiing in the first place.
Yeah, I grew up in Golden, Colorado, and my parents, my dad grew up in Chicago. My mom grew up actually in Springfield, Missouri.
Really?
Yeah, where you are, I think, right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. And so they both moved out west and just kind of loved the outdoors. And that kind of just naturally passed down to me and my sister. And they bought a house in the woods. And so I spent a lot of my childhood just roaming around the backyard, which happened to be, you know, the woods of Colorado. And so I've just always felt really lucky to be so at home in just the mountains of Colorado. That's my home, which is crazy. When you think of it as an adult, I think as a kid, I didn't fully realize exactly how cool that was.
Yeah.
But now that I'm older, I'm very grateful. And, yeah, they both liked skiing. So they'd always bring us up to the ski hills like A Basin and Keystone and stuff on the weekends. And I think I don't remember learning how to ski. They said I was probably about 3 years old, and Loveland had like a free, you know, you can take your 3 year old to the magic carpet and toss them down it and nobody has to pay anything. And so I think I started with that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And small world too, having ties back here. Have you been to Springfield yourself since then?
I have. Yeah. My, my grandparents, when they were alive, they still lived there. And then, I have an aunt, and uncle that still live in the area. So we've passed through over the years.
Okay, cool. Cool. So yeah, anyways, as you mentioned, kind of, you know, growing up kind of with sort of the ultimate access to the outdoors in a sense, that, you know, you didn't really realize or as a kid don't understand that, as you mentioned, and then being thrown on the skis at three. Did you, I guess, as you got older and as you got older there, you know, what, I guess, what kept you involved, or I guess what were the next progression, I guess, as you grew older?
Yeah, I mean, when I went through my angsty teenage phase, I think, like I said, I took it all for granted. I had no desire to do anything remotely outdoor related. I went to school at Berklee College of Music in Boston. So I moved across the country to a big city and you know, spent some time doing an internship in London and living in New York City for a little bit. And yeah, I thought that's what I wanted to do. And it took like 4 years of living in these places and getting kind of depressed and not really knowing why. And then moving back home after college to try and figure out what I wanted to do next. That was when kind of the skiing bug hit me. I became a ski instructor just mainly for the ski pass, as like a part-time job just while I was figuring out my life. And then I had some coworkers. I worked at A Basin that first year, and they're like, well, you know, if you do this full-time and you get a certification, you could actually go teach skiing in New Zealand. And I was like, okay, like that sounds fun. Let's do that. And then it just like was sort of a gradual call to just these beautiful outdoor places and realizing that that's where I grew up. That's where I'm at home. That's where I want to be.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then so like, as you mentioned, kind of during your, you know, college years in Boston and New York and everywhere else, I'm assuming that, I mean, did you still kind of get outside in that sense, even though you might not have been skiing? Like, because obviously it sounds like the biggest part of like, you know, kind of being bummed out was that you didn't have the access that, that you had back at home. But was that kind of, you know, there wasn't necessarily any opportunities that that you had, you know, just because you were focusing on college and everything else?
Yeah, the opportunities were much more limited. And I think, honestly, my aha moment was when I was trying to make it happen in New York City, and I lived in South Slope, Brooklyn. And there's a massive cemetery there, and it's actually a beautiful cemetery, and there's not a lot of people. And it's I ended up walking around the cemetery regularly, like a lot, because that was the only place that I felt like at peace a little bit. And I like had this moment walking there where I was like, if walking around a cemetery is the only way for you to feel happy here, this is maybe not the place for you to be. You should maybe leave.
That's so funny. Yeah. You could have become a ghost hunter though too.
Right? Oh, I thought about it. And I was like, maybe I should do this at night. Like, who knows?
that's funny. That's but to have that that kind of self-realization of, you know, kind of that was the missing piece, and like understanding like, oh, you know, if this area, because it's, you know, in a way kind of the most similar to, you know, kind of being in that environment, as far as, you know, not being around a bunch of people and that kind of stuff, or being more outside, I guess I should say. You know, I feel it was important, you know, to, you know, kind of stay true to yourself. And then obviously, you know, doing the ski instructor thing. And I'm assuming that you did end up doing the New Zealand thing.
Yes, I did. So I went deep down the ski instructor rabbit hole pretty quickly. I mean, I took to it immediately. I loved skiing. I've always loved skiing. My dad, actually, when he had sort of his late midlife crisis, he became a ski instructor after I'd already learned how to ski, and he taught me all my bad habits. when I was 15, he's like, oh, I'm a ski instructor now. I could teach you how to ski better. And at that point, I'm a teenager. And I'm like, no, of course not. So I fell into that, like I said, right after college. And it was so fun. Like, it's just cool to be outside every day in the winter. Like, that's the time of year where most of us don't get outside all that much. And just, that was my job, was to be outside and enjoy nature. And the mountains are, in my opinion, like extra beautiful when it's winter. And to share that with people who maybe haven't experienced it before. Like, the first couple of years I was instructing, all of my clientele for the most part were little kids who've never skied before and barely even left their parents' side. I got stuck with 3-year-olds a lot in the first year. And as exhausting as that is, it was really cool to just see how much joy it brought them and just feel that joy in myself and just kind of reverberate back and forth between us. And so I really took to that and got hooked on that for sure.
Yeah. That's awesome. And you know, like you said, you know, a lot of people don't get outside in the winter as much. And, you know, unfortunately, we're, you know, in Springfield, and then also lived in Virginia as well. But our winters were not filled with snow, or are not filled with snow and that kind of stuff. So it's just like the just cold, dry, you know, bare ground. But I have snowboarded once, and that was awesome. Yeah, you eating up that experience and those opportunities makes total sense there. So, you know, and obviously to that point, there's, you know, the opportunity to, you know, be outside, play outside, do everything on the mountains, you know, in the wintertime, and obviously throughout the year as well. But when it comes to instructing, and you kind of just mentioned it again, you know, some, you know, I feel like when it comes to working and teaching and doing that kind of stuff, you know, there's kind of a special type of person that that is good at that and loves those interactions. And even if it is with, you know, 3 year olds or however old, or maybe teenagers and everything else too. Was it mainly kind of just like, as you mentioned, sort of the spark of, you know, watching kind of the progression and also the joy that came along with it? Or was there like another kind of aspect as well?
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. Not every day was great. There were definitely days that were very, very trying, but like there were equally great days. And like, I found it super fulfilling in multiple ways. I mostly worked with kids. I found my niche eventually was kind of in the 7 to teen range. Once I had enough experience to opt out of the 3 year olds, I really liked kids that could at least verbalize what their problem was. Yeah. Instead of it always being, I want mommy. It's like, you can figure it out, but it's a process. It's just a cool environment for people to grow and to explore hardship, which is something we're all going to encounter in life one way or another. And it's very immediate hardship with very immediate solutions in a mountain environment. And so it's just really cool, especially as I worked in different ski resorts. Like, I ended up in Jackson Hole, which is an amazing place to ski and has a very, very high-end clientele. A lot of these kids haven't encountered a lot of hardship before. And so being able to like show them how to exist in these less than ideal environments and kind of uncomfortable environments, and then come through those with such an amazing experience. Cause like, I'm a firm believer that for something to be really worthwhile and just truly awe-inspiring and joy-inspiring, like, there needs to be a little bit of struggle. And so being able to share that and show that to kids who maybe haven't encountered too much of that in their life just felt really, really great. It just was a super fulfilling job for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And now when you say kind of experiencing hardships, you also mean like the learning aspect of it, of falling down, getting up, that kind of thing. And then also the actual environmental terrain, as you mentioned as well. Or do you kind of mean a mix of both of those?
Yeah, I mean, it's hardship on all fronts. So yeah, there's the falling down and getting up. So there's like physical hardship, which again, some of these kids who play video games a lot and don't go outside a lot, like getting up on your skis by yourself is hard if you've never done a sit up. Like, that's not easy. And so like physical hardship, environmental hardship, if it's cold and it's windy and it's snowing, like that, learning how to enjoy that is quite a process as well. Yeah. But I think my favorite is the emotional hardship, is like trying things that scare you, and learning how to exist with that fear and embrace it and do it anyway, and learning how to trust the people around you to guide you through it, and just like existing in these environments that trigger a lot of intense, uncomfortable emotions and learning how to regulate them. I mean, that's the part that really I loved watching growth on that aspect in a lot of these kids.
Yeah. And you know, I love the way you described all that, kind of the three different kind of phases in that sense. Because I feel like often, you know, whether it's skiing or snowboarding or skateboarding or surfing or kind of those action sports or however you want to call it. And I grew up riding BMX bikes myself, and now I'm teaching my three young kids kind of how to do that, have ramps and everything. But I feel like, you know, if some people that kind of aren't in that culture don't make those connections of how, you know, pushing yourself, you know, falling down, getting up, not, or, you know, pushing yourself through fear, everything that goes along with it. And then obviously the community aspect of it as well, even though it's not necessarily a team sport, but you're still typically doing it with others, cheering each other on, the camaraderie that comes along with that. I just feel like there's hidden benefits outside of, you know, what the normal person may see, just as you explained. So it's cool that you obviously being in the sport, you understand that as well, but you know, kind of projecting that on the others that are, you know, just getting started and kind of getting them and their journey and kind of seeing it through that lens is really cool.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's awesome. It's a great opportunity to learn lots of life skills that'll help you in anything you're trying that's new or scary.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was kind of like the point of this film, to tie it into the film, was like, especially for those of us that were raised as girls, I think a lot of times the messaging we receive pretty regularly is like, you are good, you are this, not like a lot of boys or people raised as boys are taught like, well, you know, if you try harder, maybe, you know, if you pay more attention, maybe you'll get better at this. And I feel like a lot of people raised as girls don't get that same type of reinforcement. And so it's a little bit harder for us to want to try things we're not immediately good at, or try again when we fail. And that's the other great thing about outdoor sports in general, and especially for me, skiing is like, well, you're gonna fail a lot. That's a huge part of it. And like, you're gonna back away from things, and you're gonna be frustrated, and like, learning, especially for the younger girls that I've taught over the years, that like, failure isn't a bad thing, it's a good thing, and like, you should use that to grow and learn and try again. It's integral to skiing and getting better at skiing. And that was kind of the point of this film, was like, I'm pretty sure I don't even know if there's footage of me landing a single thing in that film. And like, that's not the point. Like, I just tried it and it was fun and I didn't hurt myself. And like, that was the point, is like, you should just give it a try, and it'll be really fun, and it'll be a really great opportunity to bond with the people that you're with and grow as a person yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And sort of, as you just, you know, kind of mentioned, you know, like, sort of the whole point of the film there, like, when did the idea for it come about? And like, I guess what were sort of the steps of doing that and kind of instilling that message, you know, throughout? Like, what were some of the kind of behind the scenes part of it?
Yeah, I mean, the concept started, like, I guess, kind of in the summer before we started filming. A friend approached me with, like, the concept of, like, yeah, we should make, like, a girls film. And it ended up being a lot more than that. But the original concept was, like, well, we're not good enough skiers that any, like, pro TGR Warren Miller company is going to ever want us in their film, but we think we're pretty rad, and we think we have a lot of friends that are pretty rad, and I bet you we could make a really fun ski film that just shows that we're trying hard, and like, you don't have to be a Warren Miller athlete to make a really engaging ski film. And it evolved even further from that. And it was just more, the point was like, let's show people that you wouldn't necessarily see in a ski film. It started as a girls film, but I realized that we expanded it. We had one non-binary athlete in the film as well, because like, I don't want it to be just a girls space. It applies to anybody that's like, I don't belong in a ski film. And at any level of skiing, like, oh, you're learning how to turn parallel on a blue run and you decided to jump off of that 4-foot thing over there, like, that's pretty big for that level. That must have been really scary. And like, you're going to be stoked that you tried that. And if we can just capture that stoke and engagement, like, that's cool. That's gnarly. I would watch that 1,000 times over. And that's what I learned as a ski instructor, and eventually I became a free ride coach. And again, watching these little 8-year-olds just jump off of things that are, you know, maybe they're 10 feet, but that's like more than twice as tall as they are. And they're super stoked. And that, like, it was so wholesome and engaging. And I wanted to capture that and share it with as many people as possible, because I think a lot of people get hung up on the I'm not good enough side. And it's like, well, that's not the point. Like, did you have fun? Was that scary? Did you do it anyway? Like, that's gnarly. That's cool.
Yeah. And you know, to your point, you know, in that case, you know, just jumping off a 10-foot thing and it's twice the size of them, you know, that perspective for what is gnarly is different for everybody, you know, whether, you know, whatever your skill level is and so on and so forth. But, you know, you could be the pro that just did the craziest thing ever, or somebody that's just getting started that just did the craziest thing ever that you've ever done. And like the stoke level is still the same for both those individuals, you know,
exactly.
which is really awesome. So obviously had the idea of doing that kind of, also kind of that sort of circles back to our conversation earlier, you know, where, you know, just having that determination, those challenges, is pushing, you know, where, oh yeah, so-and-so wouldn't want us in this film, but you know what, we got a pretty sweet group of friends, so let's do it ourselves. So once you had the idea, like what were the, I guess, the steps or the plans, like how long did the filming take, and, you know, where, like, was it all one location or kind of what was sort of that process?
Yeah, it was, in retrospect, like a pretty big thing to take on, considering that I had zero experience making any type of film before. Like I had no clue where to even start. But the process is you need funding, because you need to pay people. And so you create what's called a pitch deck, which I didn't know, but somebody graciously told me, like, all right, this is what you got to do. Where you just, it's a very fancy slideshow. You show to brands, not a slideshow, a PowerPoint, a very fancy PowerPoint that you show to brands and say, hey, like, this is what we're trying to make. This is our funding goal. Can you contribute? And so we got funding. We got about $12,000, which I don't know if you know much about making films, but that's a stupidly small budget. Really, really small. But at the time, I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of money. We're going to do great. We traveled a bit. One of our sponsors was a ski shop in Seattle. And so they hooked us up with a ski guide to go show us some of the backcountry around Mount Baker. And that was really cool to film out there. A lot of it was here in Utah. I live in Salt Lake City. And, so I have a lot of local connections. So we filmed at, my home resort here, Solitude Mountain. I am an athlete for them. And so they hooked us up. And, in terms of like hiring people, it was a lot of just like, hey, I know I can't pay your daily rate. Here's the concept. We're just trying to get a women focused film, or focused on people that aren't your general like white guy doing cool tricks, and we want to show how cool we are too. And a lot of people were really on board to donate their services for cheap or sometimes free, and it came together. And then that summer, I late in the filming process, we did most of our filming actually in April of that year. Pretty much everything shot in that movie, except for a couple little shots here and there, were mostly April and May. And I met my editor, Erica Hink, and she did some videography work as well. And she and I went to town on it over the summer. And it was a huge learning process. Like, I was drinking from the water hose every step of the way and made so many mistakes. But it was really cool to just, like, again, like, you know, try something new and scary and fail a lot and keep working on it. And like, it's really cool to like look at the final product and be like, dang, I learned a lot and I made it work. It's not that bad. It turned out pretty good, all things considered.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you know, hearing whether it be like the creative people that help, you know, record and or film and edit and all that stuff, or the brands and shops and stuff that kind of backed you to help with that. It's cool to hear that, you know, they saw sort of your vision of what you wanted to accomplish with it and kind of got on board with that. And then to, you know, actually go forth and do it and get it done, even though there are some hiccups, it sounds like, along the way and everything. But out of that, like what was kind of your favorite part of kind of the whole experience, I guess, you know, with, as you mentioned, like not really knowing per se what you were doing initially and kind of learning as you go in that sense. But what were some of like those takeaways or maybe like a interesting story that happened during, you know, one of the sessions or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, God, there was a lot. Like one of the coolest things was I met a lot of people through this project. Like I was still competing. So I do compete in free ride world qualifier events. And so pretty much at every event I showed up to, I'd make a friend and be like, oh, you're a ride skier. You want to be in my film? what are you doing next week? You want to be in my film? And so I like made a lot of friendships stronger than I think I would have otherwise. I met a lot of people through Instagram. I'm just hitting him up being like, yo, you rip, you want to be in my film? And it was really cool to see like who showed up. Like a lot of the people were just like, yeah, this seems cool. One of the coolest ones, a lot of the footage didn't make it in the film. We didn't, again, I learned a lot of like which shots you need to make a cohesive story after the fact by not getting all the shots you need to make a cohesive story. But we had a very brief weather window to go down into the southern Utah desert. It's in this area known as Cedar Breaks. There's kind of some zones around there that you cannot ski in, but some zones that kind of hug some of the like zones that you're allowed to go into. And it's really beautiful. You've got hoodoos, you've got red rocks, you've got snow. It's a wild, wild combination. And, you know, it's one of those like, oh, the weather window's here. Like, let's go. Anybody free? And my friend, Jen Picarazzi, she was like, yeah. Do you need like a videographer? I'm like, yes, I do. I really do. I have no idea. And she's like, oh, I got a buddy. He'll come. It'll be great. And I'm like, sick. And he shows up and he's got snowshoes and a regular snowboard and not a lot of backcountry experience. And I'm like, okay, cool. And so it was a really fun opportunity to put on a guide hat that like I've always wanted to get into guiding and I may still do that. And that was kind of the first instance of being like, okay, well, I know where we're going. I know where it's safe. I know how to get there. And I'll carry your snowboard because like you're struggling with the snowshoes. Like this is new for you. And it was a really fun experience. We were laughing the whole time. It was a very cohesive experience. We shared a lot of knowledge and we got a couple of he got some beautiful shots, which was awesome. And I'm so grateful that he came. And it was definitely one of the first, like I got home from that trip and I was like, all right. Cool. All right, that was fun. Let's do some more. This was cool.
That's awesome. And you know, from meeting all the different people and then having experiences like that where things sort of just come together in a sense and kind of work out in that way is awesome. So once you put it out there, the film and stuff like that, what was sort of the kind of the feedback from like the overall, I guess, community of people that kind of weren't within your circle or not necessarily, you know, within the film or anything like that? Like what kind of feedback did you get, you know, once it was out there?
I mean, mainly positive. I haven't actually heard any negative feedback. I mean, nobody really wants to tell you to your face if they think your film sucks, right? But no, I mean, we had over 200 people at the world premiere. So that was nice. Really cool. Yeah. And people seemed really excited. Most of the time, if I talk to someone about it, they're just stoked. I think I played it at the brewery that I was working at and some lady was like watching it. She's like, man, I wish I had friends that cool. Like, that's really cool to see all these girls like sending it out there. And I'm like, you know, you probably do. Like, it's just about trying hard. So I think like that was really cool to see that. I think especially growing up and watching ski films a lot, like, you know, I'm from that era where you see the token female skier in a world of white guys. And it was just cool to make something that had a little more variety in it and no white guys whatsoever. Although I think our guide, he does appear for like 2 seconds. And that's the only white guy that we have in the film. And just like to see this expanse outside of that norm of just like, yeah, you know, we all kind of rip. Like, this is all cool and fun for everybody. And it's engaging enough to want to be on a film. And that was the thing I think that most people said is that, yeah, it's a good film. It was engaging. They were, in some cases, surprised that it was that good and engaging, which is awesome. And I'm stoked on the feedback. And I'd like to think that it hopefully inspires people to just get out there and have fun and try, and also to let them know that like there's a community outside of what you see in most of the ski media today. Like, there is way more than what we mostly see on Instagram and TikTok and in the movies. And it's getting better, especially on like social media fronts for sure. So that was kind of the goal. And I think it kind of succeeded on that front.
That's awesome. And then kind of, you know, to that point, you know, the younger generation, you know, the younger versions of you or you as a kid, you know what I'm trying to say, the young girls out there, they're just getting started in skiing and everything like that, to be able to, you know, come across, you know, your video and kind of, to your point, show, hey, you can do this too. Hey, there's this community, you know, this, the kind of the takeaways. So, you know, that kind of, you know, I would assume help propel, you know, the next generation and give some, you know, some extra confidence when they see things that are, you know, more similar to them or skill level or whatever that might be. But just that, that encouragement aspect of it too, seems really cool.
Yeah. And I actually can see it already in the competitions that I'm still doing. And I am now, by competition standards, I'm getting kind of old, but, seeing all the young girls coming up from the juniors and just like the mentality they have towards competition, towards a lot of the girls in my generation, I can already tell it's getting better. Like, it's super healthy competition. It's super supportive. And I think the reason is that they have seen so many women, and people other than the standard dude, out there, in their own lives, on their screens. Like, it's all right there for them. And I can just tell that it's instilled a much healthier relationship to sport in general and this sport in specific. And I'm just really stoked that it's happening. Like, it's changing, and the next generation of riders are just going to be next level on so many fronts, both as people and as athletes.
Yeah. And that's awesome to kind of be a part of that. So what's kind of the next step, or I guess the next, or anything else new coming up on the horizon, or, you know, a sequel or anything like that you might have planned out?
Yeah. It's all up in the air. I'm definitely taking my time. I think anything I do again, I'm going to need to collaborate a little bit more. Learning all of the production roles all by myself, except for a couple, was like maybe a bit too much to take on. So I'm going to try and outsource. But what's cool is, like, I've been working with this, this startup Airtime Streaming, which is doing, it's a streaming platform for independent ski films that directs some revenue back to the filmmakers, and is trying to create more, like film festivals and marketing and funding opportunities for future projects. So I'm really excited to work with them a little bit more in the future and hopefully grow that aspect so that there's more support for a lot of smaller projects like mine to succeed in the future. Because I think, honestly, like, the more we can see some of these smaller efforts in the forefront of our media consumption, I think the more inclusive everything's going to feel, and the just like the cooler and more creative the whole space is going to become. So I'm really excited about that. And I am working on a smaller project this year that's actually going to focus probably more on like injury recovery, because I've had now 3 knee surgeries on my left knee, and I've injured it like 5 times. So it's been a process. And so this one's not going to be nearly as fun as the last one, but I think also equally important, because I think as a lot of us get older in these outdoor spaces, we're still passionate about these sports, but our bodies do change, and learning how to accept and grow with that change and not fight it, I think is it's something I'm going through right now. And I think it'll be probably a cool thing to share, because I imagine I'm not the only person going through that. So,
yeah, absolutely. Figuring out how to kind of keep that longevity up while, you know, not being too hard on the body. But no, that's cool. I'm definitely sounds like there's some awesome things in the works in that regard. So one thing I always like to ask our guests is kind of one piece of advice that they can take away. And I think, you know, in this case, obviously, you know, the whole point of the Nardashians and, you know, kind of defining what the term gnarly means for them, or for whomever, kind of similar to what I mentioned before. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a 10-year-old kid who just did something or a crazy pro that just said something new, you know, that stoke level is going to be pretty much the same, just kind of depending on your own personal perspective there. So what kind of advice would you give, you know, to, you know, a kid or somebody listening, you know, to kind of not get caught up in those things like, oh, I'm not good enough, as you know, as we talked about before, I'm not good enough, or this trick isn't cool enough, or this drop isn't big enough, or those kind of things. But inside, internally, it really is. But they just kind of need that confidence to shine through and be like, this was awesome. I need to keep doing this. I need to find my people so I can kind of continue to push myself. But for those that might have that sort of self-doubt in a sense, like, what can kind of help get them over that edge to, you know, define gnarly, what it means, you know, for themselves?
Yeah. I mean, that's a great question. I think probably the best advice I could give that I really appreciated that I have managed to internalize, is like, it's all a lot of little steps. It's you only ever see, especially on social media, like the big steps. You see the pro skier throwing the massive trick off of the massive cliff, but they learned how to ski once too. And they were really stoked their first time in the air, I guarantee it. And probably more stoked, honestly. And like, yeah, that every little step, every little bit of progress, every time you do something that scares you, every little thing is really worth celebrating. The celebration of that and the appreciation of all the little progresses is what's going to get you over whatever finish line you're looking for. And it's also going to make it so that if you don't end up getting exactly where you wanted to be or what you wanted to get, it's still going to be worthwhile when you look back at the process, if you just take a moment to appreciate all of the little wins, which is a lot harder for some people than others. So I think just like making space for that joy and appreciation, even for the little things, is going to help in the long run.
Yeah, no, I love that advice. And I think you're right. You know, you don't always see the behind the scenes necessarily, but you know, to celebrate those things and just kind of continue to grow and progress and you know, keep a smile on your face, most importantly. To that point, where can people find you online, stay up with what you're up to, obviously, of course, watch the film and everything else?
Yeah, the only social media that I'm really active on is Instagram. I've been hesitant to do TikTok because I have a problem with social media, and I think I'd probably never get off my phone. But so for now, I'm just on Instagram. My handle is at Juliana Rusnak. And then the Nardashians, they also are on Instagram at the Nardashians. And then you can watch the film on YouTube. You can also watch it on Airtime Streaming. There's also some behind the scenes, like interviews with me and another athlete on Airtime Streaming exclusively. And for now, those are the only places that that I'll be posting about any future projects.
Awesome. Well, everybody definitely make sure you give a follow, watch the film, get inspired, see what's on the horizon. Sounds like there's a possibility for some cool stuff coming down the road, and including some injury stuff, which I think would be helpful. I could relate to that myself, getting older, still trying to ride bikes. I appreciate you coming on and sharing your story, and I appreciate, you know, you taking the vision of everything and creating something that you could share kind of at a broader scope. So I appreciate you doing that and inspiring others, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks so much, and thanks again for having me. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thanks for listening. And hey, if you made it this far and like what you've heard, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and let your friends know about Life in Motion. Until next time.